Okay, friends, we continue. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 88, and we are working with the decanates of Virgo. Okay. And it says here, this is page 282, that in connection with the decanates, I would point out that what I am in this treatise constantly emphasizing is that the astrologer needs to study the horoscope of the individual from the angle of his place upon the wheel of the zodiac. Well, this is it's not one size fits all, is it? There are so many different factors which only come into play when we know the point of evolution of the individual and developing the ability to assess what that is no easy matter. I think we can only approximate it, and a true master of the wisdom can know with exactitude the point of attainment reached and the next step ahead. So to study the horoscope of an individual from the angle of his place upon the wheel of the zodiac, and to consider which way he is going. Is he progressing around the wheel as a personality, or is he moving forward as a soul? This is the big question, and there will be an increasing de-emphasis upon the Ahamkara principle, upon the little personal self, the consciousness, which is soul consciousness, is focused in the group, focused on the wholeness, and attempts to align with the divine plan, putting the personality preferences second to the Saturnian duties which arise when one realizes what the divine plan is attempting to accomplish. The conflict to which all disciples are subjected, and of course we would have to add aspirants, wouldn't we, can be traced to the fact that the form life of the disciple is influenced in one way by the wheel, and the consciousness aspect in another way, or in the reverse direction. This is called, these directions are called, as we know, the wheel of form. That's the world of form, we don't want that. And the wheel of consciousness. That's what they are called. And so many of us are divided, moving forward in our consciousness, on the wheel of consciousness, but not yet having conditioned the form nature so that it too is responding more to the energy currents moving in the proper direction to enhance consciousness rather than in the old reactive form-preserving direction. So, and the consciousness aspect in another or in the reverse direction. The disciple enters the sign under the influence of that decanate, which is for him the first, but which is the third, which is the third for the ordinary man. In other words, the ordinary man is moving in the direction such that the disciple's first decanate is for him the third, and this is, shall we say, prior to his reversing of the wheel. Now, the way I've done this, you've seen, I've offered a kind of a map. Yeah. In which we, for instance, have in Virgo, let us say, decanates ruled in the counterclockwise direction by Mercury, Saturn, and Venus. Let us say this is the case, although we will examine it closely. So the ordinary individual enters in that section, which for the disciple is ruled by Venus, and is entering via the 30 to 20 decanate, moves to the 20 to 10 decanate, and while still on the clockwise wheel, spends the last type of decanate experience, which is largely mental, and is moving towards the selfish integration of the personality in the 10 to 0 decanate. Let's take a look at this. One, two, the decanates in landscape view. Yes, we have here Mercury, Saturn, Venus, Mercury, Saturn, Venus. This is the way it seems to be. We'll get into that in just a moment, but I just want to make sure that we're relatively accurate here. Yes, the disciple, on the other hand, will be entering the stage of integrating the personality and turning it into an aspiring personality under the 0 to 10 influence of Mercury. We'll move forward into the Saturnian decanate, 20 to 30, and there the disciplines of discipleship are especially correlated. And finally, interestingly, the Venus decanate is for him the third decanate, and he is beginning to know what it means to be an initiate and to bring in the energies of the spiritual triad and even the monad. So, whereas for the average individual, the Venus decanate is dealing with the lower aspects of the personality, for the disciple, the Venus decanate is particular, or the initiate, the Venus decanate is particularly associated with the higher aspects of the of that individual's possibilities, namely triadal and even monadic. Now, I have been at great lengths to explain my view on this, that a person of any spiritual rank can be born in any of the three decanates. It's just that we have to know what the spiritual rank is and then apply the energy qualities and tendencies of that particular decanate to the level of evolution that we have assessed. Of course, in the beginning, it's possible to be incorrect, and as a result, you know, our assessment may be incorrect. But generally, we do find that readers of the Bailey books, if they are consistent readers, are in the process of reversing the wheel, and are at least aspiring. They may not be full disciples. They may not have focused their will and mind on treading the path of discipleship. They may not have a steady access to soul, light, and love in the mind and other personality aspects, but at least they are struggling forward. So most of the people for whom we read probably are moving in the counterclockwise direction on the wheel of consciousness. But this does not mean that it is exclusively so. And then on what phase of the wheel of consciousness do they find themselves? Well, again, following the line of probabilities, mostly they will find themselves in the aspirational stage or in the discipleship stage. Maybe a few are initiates, and for them, we are not so likely to be doing readings. You know, maybe they can read for themselves. But still, there are aspects of our nature which are tending towards the initiatic, and we have to know something about that. So this is a fluid area of study. There's much uncertainty here. We don't want to be dogmatic about it. There are even places where we don't even know for sure what the decanate rulers will be. But we will proceed realizing that it is an important part of astrological study, as will be, for further refinement, the study of the decanates in terms of the day and night face, the study of the 2.5 degree Dwadashamsas, found by dividing the 12 signs of the zodiac into the 30 degrees of sign. And finally, when the day comes, and even now there are hints, the study of the meaning of each individual degree and what can be extracted from it. So DK has been really emphasizing the dual wheel, which I suppose in the etheric body are contrasting and frictional energy flows, the tendency to flow in one direction and also in the opposite direction, causing a kind of friction and the, well, he might call it, you know, the wretched life of the average aspirant, where so much is uncertainty, so many decisions are to be made, so many counterpulls exist, and the individual is torn. Less and less is he torn as the quality of the matter in the personality vehicles improves and moves towards the atomic. Then there is the tendency, in a way, for the vehicles to be much more accommodating and for the wheel of form to put up much less resistance against the wheel of consciousness. This would be the true and final reversal of the wheel. Probably between the third and fourth initiation, the wheel of form will put up very little resistance. There it's more the question of the egoic wheel that is resisting the impact of the spirit. That which resists the fourth degree initiate is the wheel of form as it is found rotating in that section of humanity for which he must make the final sacrifice. Okay, so the disciple enters the sign under the influence of that decanate which is for him the first, but which is the third for the ordinary man. I mean, because, well, we're entering the age of Aquarius. We could say that, in a sense, the precession of the equinoxes would have everyone entering under the 30 to 20 degree and section of Aquarius, which is ruled by Venus, and this is to an extent true, whereas the disciples will be entering specifically under Saturn. But in another way, DK assures us that the next 600-700 years will be difficult for all humanity, because humanity is entering the age of Aquarius under the influence of Saturn. And once Aquarius begins to be powerful, the orthodox Saturnian rulership, which even preceded the Uranian rulership, will be effective, regardless of what the decanate may be. So he promises us difficult years, and I suspect there will be years of social adjustments in which the value of the individual and the value of the group will be eventually wisely measured against each other. So the disciple enters the sign under the influence of that decanate which is for him the first, but which is the third for ordinary man. And even now, I think in Aquarius, we can see many people responding powerfully to a combination of Venus and Uranus. The sexual impulse is very strongly stimulated. The sacral center is strongly stimulated by Uranus, the ordinary orthodox ruler. Saturn is causing all of the difficulties in social organization. And Venus is attracting people to each other in, let's say, lower ways. And the higher principles of Venus are not being brought forward, except perhaps by disciples. This is interestingly and practically instanced by the constellation which we are now entering. Oh, so he's going to talk about this right now. Oh, goodness. I'm beginning to see that even though this is about Virgo, he's going to discuss Aquarius. The three, well, let's see what the master says, because after all, what he says is going to be as clear as possible. The three decanates of Aquarius from the angle of the disciple are Saturn, Mercury, and Venus. okay, he would say, you know, difficulty, illumination, and brotherhood. It is in this sequence that they affect him. In other words, let us just say that in order to reach the full meaning of Venus, we have to first pass through the attainments indicated by Mercury and Saturn. Well, let's put them in order, indicated by Saturn and Mercury, and carry him forward on his desired way. Thus, giving opportunity through conflict. Now, you know, it's interesting, we don't have any harmony through conflict, but there is such a pressure to do things right in Saturn that conflict arises. Conflict arising through the imposition of correctness upon the present conditions. So, Saturn is, let's call it must do. And when must do impacts the present personality pattern, which is more or less, I'll do it when I feel like doing it, then conflict arises. So, thus giving opportunity through conflict, giving opportunity, and that is a particularly Saturnian word, the god of opportunity, giving opportunity through conflict, meaning we can at last face those factors which have been firmly established for a long time, but which are retrogressive or at least unhelpful. We can face them and do something about them. We, the inner man, can come into conflict with those aspects of ourselves which do not serve, those patterns we have built which do not serve to make of us a true soul and expression. Thus, giving opportunity through conflict, the illumination of the mind, and eventually the achievement of brotherly love, which is wisdom. Love and wisdom. We realize how much Venus, in essence, is a love-wisdom planet. Once we move beyond the fifth ray of Venus, we have love-wisdom in the monadic nature. Ordinarily speaking, the mass of men would pass through the sign via Venus, Mercury, and Saturn, for the undeveloped man is influenced by those qualities which can best be described as instinctual mind or affection. Let's just say, all I have to do is find this little cursor. How can we describe it? I am drawn to it. I like it. I don't know why I am drawn, but I have an affection for it, which is not, of course, a purposeful reaction. This is brotherly love in embryo. This is an important statement. Instinctual mind or affection can eventually grow into brotherly love, but it will take many lives in which this can happen. So there are sort of new forms of social affection forming, new aggregations of people who like each other, are drawn to each other, feel mutually comfortable with each other. There are all kinds of affections which are, from the point of view of law, let's consider aberrant or illegitimate. This is the old conditioning, but it will be justified under Uranus, of course, whether or not it is correct. So the undeveloped man is influenced by those qualities which can be best described as instinctual mind or affection, which is brotherly love in embryo, and by the slow unfoldment of the mind through the activity of Mercury. So we can expect that fifth ray Aquarius, also transmitting constellationally, it can be inferred, the third ray, that Aquarius will be a sign in which we see a steady development of the mind. Yes. Steady development of the mind. And finally, as the result of this unfoldment, because the mind is waking up and revealing that which is and the relative value of things, and revealing our foolish ways of acting and our various stupidities. Finally, as a result of this unfoldment, conflict supervenes, and Saturn offers the opportunity to suffer. Conflict supervenes because the new and better way is contrasted with the way things are, the way they conditioned. So conflict supervenes, and we can suffer over the privation of continuing the way things are, because the way things should be are beginning to impose themselves. So through suffering, because of the tendency of conditions to continue in the face of more thorough knowledge that they should not continue, we are given the chance to choose rightly, even if painfully. You know, to given the opportunity here to choose the right, even if there is pain involved, to analyze correctly and to decide upon higher values, even if they cause discomfort. So this is the first decanate of Aquarius. But DK seems to tell us, like I say, that, you know, otherwise we'd have to wait for the great majority of human beings to enter the Saturn decanate, some 1,500 plus years from now. Indeed, they will, but there will be difficulty before that, and he will explain this, or maybe already has explained it in the Aquarius chapter. Perhaps you remember. These points must be carefully considered by the astrologer. But at this time, we are at a point of crisis, and the problem takes wider implications. In other words, this is the way it would normally be if we're just going along and there is no particular cyclic crisis, which now there is. So, but at this time, he's elaborating, expanding the consideration, but at this time we are at a point of crisis, and the problem takes wider implications, for the reason that for the first time in history, humanity is beginning to mount the fixed cross, humanity as a whole. So let's just say that, you know, the implications here is more human beings will be entering via Saturn, and humanity is becoming, as a whole, the disciple. Oops. The disciple. So this changes the picture, doesn't it? Thus reversing its progress upon the circle of the zodiac. Humanity as a whole, and owing to the large proportion of aspirants and thinking idealists, is entering Aquarius via the open door of Saturn, the open door of opportunity, the door which opens unto the realization of the soul and its meaning and its methods. So humanity as a whole, and I think I'm just going to have to accent that one, humanity the disciple, even though as you look around you say, you know, well, there are so many people who just aren't at that stage, but from DK's perspective, humanity is becoming the disciple. It has been, in a way, the aspirant, maybe ever since the battle of Kurukshetra, when in Libra a choice was made more based upon desire than a clearly focused mind. But now we have a higher level of mentality. We have thinking idealists and aspirants, people who are focused in the later stages of the fifth petal unfoldment, and such people who are not yet fully Mercury-Saturn disciples are still entering via the open door of Saturn, which leads through difficulty to the soul. So let's just say a wide scale experience of what the first Dekena means is imminent for humanity, because there are so many who have reached a sufficient stage of development. Okay. At the same time, a very large number of men, I suppose really a greater number in a way, who are in the non-thinking instinctual stage, and their consciousness, a very large number of men are in the non-thinking instinctual stage, and their consciousness is predominantly Atlantean. They enter via Venus, and hence the conflict between two orientations. Because, you know, some want their comforts under Venus and want to go what they like and to reject what they dislike, and are looking for their pleasures, whatever level of the personality must be indulged to have pleasure. And others are thinking in more responsible terms and are thinking in the broader picture and saying, what is my duty here? What really am I as a human being? What is best, not just for me, but for my group or for humanity, for my nation, you know? And so there will be the conflict between the responsible and the irresponsible, or less responsible. Conflict between the increasingly responsible and the less responsible. We see that even now. It's just basically the usual selfishness versus a growing unselfishness. We also have the tremendous conflict with us with the outgoing Piscean energies of two kinds, in terms of a shorter Piscean age and a longer one, and the incoming Aquarian energies of two kinds, the shorter Aquarian age and the longer Aquarian age, in which it, at least part of it, will be subsumed. So humanity is a fighting kingdom, it's a Scorpio kingdom, it's a warring kingdom. It's always, on this planet at least, adjudicating between the pairs of opposites. The pairs of opposites are unusually intense at this time because the soul ray of the planet is attempting to emerge despite the inhibitory energies provided by its personality ray. Conflict everywhere, choice everywhere, the need for steadfastness everywhere. So, you know, this has made it clearer in my mind, at least, that the reason why humanity as a whole is entering under Saturn this time, rather than as a whole under Venus, is that so many human beings have reached a high enough stage of development where entry through Saturn is indicated. Now, you know, just in the same way that humanity can become initiated, even though the larger portion of human beings will not be initiated, so humanity becomes a disciple, even though the larger portion of human beings are not the disciple, or is not the disciple. There's some kind of proportion there that is required for a group to be considered to have moved into the next stage. It will be for many human beings a very long time before they take the first initiation, and yet, interestingly, because a certain proportion of human beings, who knows how many, will be taking the first initiation, humanity itself will be considered to be a first-degree initiate. We've been told by DK that when the Christ does reappear, which is imminent but not immediate, it will indicate that humanity itself has taken the first initiation. The reappearance of the Christ indicates that humanity, in terms of the proportions we are discussing, has taken the first initiation. And because the Christ is reappearing, so many more human beings, after that point, human beings as individuals will have the opportunity to take the first initiation. It will even be offered in public we are told, and the Christ will be the one at this time, I believe, who officiates, since he is the one qualified to do that and is the initiator for the first two initiations, both of which will be given publicly. So we do face amazing possibilities ahead. We just have to get into this new age and survive the transition period, during which I believe, unfortunately so, we can expect a large loss of human life, which may be part of the incoming and outgoing rays. The departing sixth ray will certainly contribute to this loss, I believe. According to Safariel, the three decanates into which Virgo is divided are governed by the Sun, Venus, and Mercury, while Alan Leo gives us a Mercury, Saturn, and Venus. Quite different. But, you know, it's not that Alan Leo and Safariel are simply deciding what would be the appropriate ruler. They are part of a rigid system. And they are simply offering what the system is offering. Safariel's system, more rooted in the third ray, I think, is the ancient Chaldean system. And Alan Leo's system is the Hindu system. So here is Safariel with the Sun, Venus, and Mercury. Alan Leo, Mercury, Saturn, Venus. Interesting that at least they share two planets, but in different places. Nicholas Nilén, excellent theorist in all these matters, goes with Safariel in terms of the form, but DK gives us Mercury, Saturn, and Venus, pretty much as Alan Leo does, and there's always the way a possibility of reversing the wheel of consciousness when looking at the wheel of form, and so then it would be Venus, Saturn, and Mercury instead of Mercury, Saturn, and Venus. The constellations extra-zodiacal are Bernice's hair, the symbol of sacrifice from 0 to 10, the bear guard or driver found in the second decanate, at least that's one way of looking at it, and the centaur in the third. Now, some have suggested that the centaur should be put, Bootes, should be put in the second decanate, in the third decanate, and the centaur in the second decanate, because Bootes represents more the Christ, and the centaur, still the disciple, spearing Lupus, the wolf, the elemental nature of the human being, or his own elemental nature, and placing it on the aura, on Ara, the altar of sacrifice in Sagittarius. So, and yet, because Bootes is often associated with the Christ, and thus with the second aspect, thus with the second decanate, and carries in his hand a kind of sickle, which suggests Saturn. It is more difficult, though, perhaps, to look at the centaur as related to Venus, and easier to consider him as the disciplining one who spears the lower nature and submits it to the lower discipline. So I would say that there is a certain uncertainty there if we go with the idea that assigning the extra zodiacal constellations is a good one, we have a kind of uncertainty as to how these two, at least, should be assigned. We'd just like to read from the Labors of Hercules, which may reinforce the second option. The three constellations in close proximity to that of Virgo are Coma Berenice, the mother of the form only, the centaur, the man riding upon a horse, or the horse with a man's head and torso, representing the human being, for man is an animal plus a god. This is the lowest of the constellations, I think in space perhaps, or it's one of the lower ones in the southern sky. And it is noticeable that Hercules, though he had passed through five gates, failed at the sixth gate, and had to begin again at the bottom, and make reparation for his lack of love and understanding. I think when the sixth ray is prominent, as it is in Virgo, with the horse symbolism of the centaur carrying much sixth ray, there is often lack of love. We're told in the integration formula for the sixth ray, love more your fellow men. That is the last statement made in that formula. It often happens to advanced disciples. The third constellation holding promise of the future is Bootes, the one who is coming, the savior in Pisces, who frees humanity from substance, from subservience to form. So Alice Bailey seems to give the order as Coma Berenices, Bootes, and then Coma Berenices, the centaur, and then Bootes. Now, in the sky, Coma Berenices has a relative height, but the centaur is well towards the southern sky. And then you have to rise to, the centaur is well towards the southern sky, then you have to rise towards Bootes, which is not far from the bear, so it's in the northern sky. So there's not exactly a sequential order in terms of north and south. But this is what she gives, and if we're talking about the one who is coming and the Savior in Pisces, then I think there is a justification for considering Bootes to be the third and the centaur the second, even though Bootes is carrying the symbol of the harvest or sickle. Yes, and there's not so much, if we look here at the decanates and landscape view, and this would be the Virgo Capricorn area. So the bear guarded driver or centaur. Let's just say much justification exists, and we would say again a Bootes for the third. Much justification exists. Yes, and I just want to make that a little bit smaller if I can, as kind of a parenthetical phrase. The whole idea of assigning the extra zodiacal constellations to the decanates is, I think, a valuable one. It sometimes really works remarkably well. Sometimes it's a little bit ambiguous. But remember the idea that if we do note the relation of these extra zodiacal constellations to the main constellation we are studying, all of those who are born in or under that main constellation or have it strongly accented have aspects in their nature which correspond to all of the extra zodiacal constellations and not just only to one of them. Yes, when we consider the relationship of the centaur, in this case acting in a disciplined manner with his spear, transfixing Lupus the wolf, the lower threefold nature, and laying it upon the altar Ara, it is a Saturnian thing to do. It's a disciplinary thing to do. It's a voluntary sacrifice. It seems reasonable. As for Bootes, he fits well with Venus because Venus really is the Christ, the morning star. And the initiatory regime on Venus very much suggests what the Christ has been passing through. The Christ is a Syrian initiate of a certain degree, or equivalent thereto, and there is this important triangle, which I think is a Sirius, Venus, and the Earth, with Venus representing the soul nature. So the fullness of birth, the Christ consciousness, could fit well with Bootes, standing in a way as the second aspect of divinity to the Great Bear's first aspect. We can come up with all kinds of justifications, but we will not know for sure, as these matters are speculative. Deep research into the meaning of each one of these constellations, extra-zodiacal, as they are found in the various traditions of the world, would be necessary. Right, so that was from the Labors of Hercules, and it seems to support the option that is in red. Okay, so Safariol suggests Sun, Venus, Mercury, Alan Leo, Mercury, Saturn, Venus. I would remind you here of a point that is often forgotten by astrologers, and this is that in the case of the disciple, because Mercury is rising into its higher forms of expression, Mercury and the Sun are interchangeable terms, and sometimes Vulcan and the Sun are interchangeable terms. Those two planets very closely related. So Mercury and the Sun are interchangeable. So with Safariol, we have, what's here? Safariol, we have Sun, Venus, Mercury, and Sun and Venus are in a way the same. Okay. Mercury and the Sun are one. This has a lot to do with the merging of the Antikorana into full unitive realization. Antikorana is our method of overcoming the sense of duality, and the Sun is the symbol of duality overcome in consciousness, at least the Sun in higher interpretations, when we're not interpreting it as a separative ahamkaric symbol. So when the disciple becomes aware that he is himself Mercury, the son of mind, in this case the soul, and therefore one with the universal Christ, the Son and yet the Son of God, as it is esoterically called, he is then the initiate. So for the disciple who is on the path of probationary initiation and moving into initiatic status, Mercury indeed does become the Sun. We see this kind of union occurring in the last decanate of Capricorn, ruled by Mercury, but really veiling Vulcan and the Sun, and all three of them one in a blazing light of initiation in that decanate which is most definitely associated with true initiation. Therefore, Leo's assignment of rulers is the truly esoteric one. See, it's so interesting. It's as if DK takes these rather rigid systems and shows, propounded by Safariol and Leo, and shows the way in which one or the other is esoterically correct. It's not really a choice that Safariol and Leo have made. They have simply gone with the system that existed. So, you know, you can't, except in a few cases, you cannot say that they chose to put those planets where they are. But then sometimes DK tells us that a combination of the two is more esoteric, and sometimes, as for Gemini and Cancer, it appears that Safariol's assignment, well, that's certainly true in Gemini and maybe in Cancer, that Safariol's assignment of rulers is the truly esoteric one. So what level of, what type of documents is DK working from? What type of knowledge is he working from? This is a big question. Venus, Mercury, and the Moon in Cancer, And sure enough, Venus, Mercury, and the Moon, DK chooses Sapphariel's assignment here. And definitely, when we go up here in Gemini, which shows us Jupiter, Mars, and the Sun, DK, this is DK's column here, DK chooses Jupiter, Mars, and the Sun. So I think we can see that correctness of decanate assignment is not related to any rigid system that we know about, although it may be related to some system that Master DK knows about. Okay. So, if the disciple realizes that his soul is really one with the spirit, we might say, one with the sun, or one with the glorified soul symbolized by the sun, then his soul consciousness has become something greater, Mercury has become something greater than the versatile and unstable concrete mind, as DK refers to it in one point. So therefore, Leo's assignment of rulers is the truly esoteric one. And now he is going to enlarge upon that. So Leo is simply following the Hindu system. Virgos of Virgo is naturally ruled by the ruler of Virgo, which is Mercury. Virgos of Capricorn by the ruler of Capricorn, which is Saturn, and Virgo sub Taurus by the ruler of Taurus, which is Venus. When the disciple, now this is one of the really important statements in the book. When the disciple knows Saturn is the god who offers opportunity and does not only feel him to be deity who brings disaster, then he is on the path of discipleship in truth and in deed, and not just theoretically. So this is interesting because the mental component is there, the truth part, and the deed is there as well. Truth and, that's too big. That's too big. It's nice, but you can't see the whole thing, so it's important to see the whole thing, I believe. Yes. So when the disciple knows Saturn as the god who offers opportunity, at least it offers man as a soul opportunity, it may deprive the personality of its habitual rotary opportunities. When the disciple knows Saturn as the god who offers opportunity and does not only feel him to bring deity, to be deity who brings disaster, well, he may in part feel that disaster is coming into his life, but he understands the opportunity within the disaster. Then he is on the path of discipleship in truth, which means mentally he sees truly with the mind, and he performs according to what he sees with his mind. Therefore, in deed, he carries out the requirements of Saturn, realizing that they are opportunities. And he's not just self-pitying, saying, oh, what a disaster in my life. He's seeing the implications, the higher possibilities. Okay. So make note of that sentence, which is found on page 284. Such an important sentence. And I'll just maybe put that in. Page 284, because we have to come into a better understanding relationship with Saturn. It is the planet of discipleship, and especially, I mean, with Mercury, and especially of accepted discipleship. So an entirely different attitude towards the disciplines which may be karmically imposed or which may be chosen if the opportunity to choose in this way is seen. A different relationship to this planet is required by those who are disciples. When Venus is the source of wisdom and the expression of the transmutation of the mind into intuition and of intellect into wisdom, then He is ready for initiation, and basically he's telling us Venus is the ruler of the last decanate, where true initiation of the third degree is the focus. Now just think about this in terms of similarities. Initiation, well, the hierarchical ruler of the sign of initiation is Venus in Capricorn, and Venus is found here in that decanate of Virgo, which has to do with the illumination. It fits so well with Taurus, of course. Initiation as illumination. Okay. So, we're understanding three ways of looking at, three ways for the disciple, very important here, three ways for the disciple to look at Mercury, Saturn, and Venus. These are specifically disciplic perspectives. Specifically disciplic perspectives. The Son of Mind is the universal Christ. The Son of Mind is the Son, is being. Saturn is opportunity. And Venus is that form of illumination associated with initiation, the transmutation of mind into intuition and of intellect into wisdom. What an excellent way of understanding Venus. The transmutation of mind into intuition, the Manus Buddhi factor, Venus being a planet in which the intuition is so, at this time, pronounced in terms of its own development, the transmutation of mind into intuition and of intellect into wisdom. I'm thinking about Immanuel Kant, who was a Taurus, and I'm thinking of how Venus must have functioned in his horoscope, because he was poised at the juncture of Manus and Buddhi, and writing about their relationship. So it's, in a way, we're looking at the transmutation of the fifth ray into the second, or the fifth principle into, in a way, the sixth principle, which is Buddhi, and which is characterized by love, wisdom, or the second ray. So then, he is rapidly achieving liberation. Remember what we talk about here having with Virgo and the cultivation of wisdom, just as Taurus is so often associated with the cultivation of knowledge. The weakness of the rulers of the decanates as given by Sepharia lies in the fact that both Mercury and the Sun are one, and the choice therefore becomes redundant. But the question might be, what if we are not talking about disciples? Then are Mercury and the Sun still one? And maybe that's the reason why I think Nicholas chose here to put the Sepharial decanates, Sun, Venus, and Mercury, on the inside. Perhaps in this particular case, the Sun is standing for something more of a personality nature, and Mercury is still the usual mental nature, and is not the Sun of Mind merging into the Christ consciousness. Maybe that's why he did that. Okay, so with respect to Sepharial, DK goes on to say that Sepharial omits Saturn, and because of this omission in the second decanate, the door is not open. But then, you know, if Sepharial is talking about average people, then for average people who are going around the wheel in the personality sense, for average people, the door is not open. But I think what DK is saying is that these, from the esoteric perspective, what Safariel says is not suitable to the disciple. So DK is saying that from the esoteric perspective, Safariel's decanates are not suitable for the process of the disciple. Maybe for average man in some way they would be, but much closer study would be required. Well, I wonder if I can avoid my usual mistake. Well, no, maybe I'll just have to go with the possibility of making my usual mistake, which is to finish somehow discussing the decanates and to not round off with the discussion of the keynotes, saving them somehow for the next program, which I should not do. I should include them in one of these programs focused on Virgo and not talk about the Virgo keynotes when I begin discussing Leo. But let's see what happens now. What I would normally do here, well, maybe I should, because we don't have only 3 minutes left on this tape. I will read about these keynotes and then go on to a fuller discussion of the decanates. Again, the keynotes of this sign convey their meaning clearly, and there is no need for me to elucidate in the same way as there was no need when he discussed let choice be made, and I choose the way which leads between the two great lines of force for Libra. On the ordinary wheel, the command goes forth in the following words which institute the activity of Virgo, and the word said, you know, the word of soul, saying what has to happen within the personality, let matter reign. Just as it did in the previous solar system when Virgo, for the second half of that solar system, was ruler. But now it's manifesting in a much higher turn of the spiral, DK tells us. Later, upon the wheel of the disciple, the voice emerges from the Virgin herself, I suppose, from matter form itself. And she says, I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. And all three aspects of divinity are finding consummation. All three aspects of divinity find, well, maybe I shouldn't use the word consummation, find expression together within a matter, within matter form. Matter form. So DK is telling us, well, he's telling us things that I want to spend a little more time with. Ponder upon the beauty of this synthesis and the teaching, and know that you yourself have said the first word as the soul. You're going to subject yourself to matter. It's okay. And you're going to do that for as long as it takes to uplift matter. Said that as the soul, descending into the womb of time and space, where over time and in space, higher realizations that we align with the Christ consciousness are developing in a far and distant past. And the time has now come when you can, if you so choose, proclaim your identity with both divine aspects, matter and spirit, the mother and the Christ. In this case, notice how the Christ is called spirit. Really, all three are involved. I am the mother and the father. That would be matter and spirit. I am the mother and the child. That would be matter and the Christ. So we can proclaim this and we can extricate ourselves from identification with matter alone, or we can realize that that spark of mind which has been implanted contained a triple potency which can unfold together. The spark of mind has a triple potency which eventually unfolds as mother, son, and father, expressing through the realm of mother, because that is the purpose of the Virgoan monad, to express as much of its full nature as possible redemptively in the lower world of matter. Okay, so, you know, I may repeat this a little bit, but this is the end of Esoteric Astrology 88A, and we are on page 285, but I'm going to want to go on and discuss the decanates, beginning, so that's the end. And we'll say here, beginning Esoteric Astrology 88B, Section B, page 285, or really what I'm doing is offering my tabulations in trying to understand the way the decanate rulers affect those at different stages of evolution, and also the three levels of rulerships affecting those at different stages of evolution.